We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Praise God. I quite frankly can't hear baritone answering, and I'm beginning to get suspicious. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. somebody said, Happy Mother's Day, 99 more to go for the year. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. I want to take the time first to thank the leadership of the church for giving this spring the opportunity to coordinate service today. And most of all for giving me the honor to bring God's word. It's something that I never would get used to. So it's a rare honor, and I'm deeply, deeply thankful to serve God in this capacity today. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you because you're a covenant-keeping God. I hold on to your word today because I live in time, but you live in eternity. I only knew I would be here a few weeks ago, but you had always known. Lord, I pray that may you do exactly that which you already purposed even before I walked into today. Father, I ask, oh God, as you have said in your word, that wherever the name of Jesus is proclaimed, that you will back it up with your spirit, confirming it and causing the world to become life. Father, oh God, may you bypass all that I know to do today, oh God. May your spirit find expression of that which you want to say in the name of Jesus. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh God. Take full and absolute control. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Okay.
Today, as we celebrate mothers and womanhood generally, we're trusting God to share how special that we are, and to also share the plan of God and the reason why God created us so specially. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible describes God as the potter, meaning that he molds things. And we also learn from the Bible that women were made from another creation of his. And for the potter that he is, when a potter molds something and he has to mold another one of that same thing, my assumption is that the second one is more beautiful. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Please, can all the men in service, they just stand and the women just sit. I like the way Mrs. Moyo is sitting in particular. And they just go around to the women and wish them happy Mother's Day. We celebrate. I celebrate you. If you have any other word to say to the woman, please, can you just go around and just let us be special. We are special. Just for a minute, please. Can the men please stand up? Say Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, and I will just read it. But if the slide can come up, that will be fine. Praise God. So I'll read Genesis 2 and verse 18. The Lord said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. And I will just jump on to verse 21. And he says, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took the man's rib and he closed it up and closed up the place with flesh. And the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One of the things that the Lord intends to, you know, highlight for us today as we read this part is how the woman was made and why the woman was made in the way that he chose to make her. Praise the Lord. And we'll just look first on the word helpmate, which is just to create a background to what we'll just, you know, see today. The root word of the word helpmate is Issa Kenedo. And the second slide, thank you. And it has original two meaning, and depending on the pronunciation, it means to rescue, to save, to be strong. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So the Lord made for the man a woman, another person who is able, who have the capacity, whom God has put inside of her, the capacity to be able to save, to rescue, and to be strong. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. That same word is used about 21 times in the Old Testament, and the same word that was used for the woman in terms of being a helper, that word is used 21 times in the Old Testament, and oftentimes, it's used to describe God. It is used to describe how God helps. We see it in Psalm 121, verse 2. That word, the helper there, is the same word that was used for the woman. It is also used, you know, for nations Israel have to appeal for military aid, that sort of help. That kind of capacity, that is what God intended when he made the woman. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This little background of the capacity that the woman have is essential for us to be able to know how the woman is supposed to function. Because a lot of the times the word helpmate, when it is used, we just try to rally it around being a wife to one man. Praise God. But that works, but essentially, you have the capacity to save. You have the capacity to be strong. And that is why God has put the woman in a place of trust. That is why he has committed life to the woman. Because he knows that she has the capacity to nurture, the capacity to defend and to rescue and to save from harm. Praise the Lord. So the collective meaning of that word describes a person with the ability to rescue others, generally. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. So we had always known a lot of gender-specific items for the woman, which is one of them is a woman gives birth. We also want to know other things that is specific for the woman. We want to know the things that a woman can do based on the potential that the Lord has given to her. Because the Bible says in Hosea 4 and verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if we don't know, there is tendency for you to be in destruction and you don't know. You know, it says, a man in honor who does not know is like the beast that perisheth. Talking about knowledge. Praise God.
Amen.
And in strategic time, we have discovered that when the Lord wants to do something, there is always a the woman plays a pivotal role. She plays an integral role in the agenda of God. Today, we are trusting God to see women in the Bible that use this capacity that the Lord has given to them well. What their outcome is. And some others who did not know, like the ones who were in honor and did not realize it, and the one who did not have that knowledge, and before their very eye, destruction came. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Lord always put the woman at the verge of major transition. Praise the Lord. We will just, first, we will look at Eve. Praise God. And we'll look at Genesis chapter 2, which gives us an account of creation of the woman, which I already read. And in chapter 3, just after the woman was made with everything that the Lord used in making her, when the Lord said that he removed a rib and used that rib to make her, biology says that that part of the rib that the woman, you know, was formed from is the same rib that covers very vital organ of the body, speaking about the woman's protective power. It is the rib that covers internal organs and cause and help, you know, respiratory system and all of those internal organs. We will look at Eve. First, I didn't say if you're taking notes. So we're looking at consecration to function. That is our topic for today. Praise God. In Luke chapter 3, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden?" Praise God. The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Praise God. If you notice, when the serpent came, the first thing he said to the woman was to sow seed of doubt in her heart. He said, did God say you should not eat any of the tree? God didn't say that. And the serpent also knew that that was not what God said. So we looked at these things as to the things that Eve, as to some of the elements that Eve, you know, failed on. When the devil came and sowed the seed of doubt and unbelief, the first thing that stood out to me is Eve lacked the power of discernment. Because immediately the devil came and asked her that question. If she had her personal relationship with God, she would be able to pick it out very quick. And then also about evil communication and interaction. As women in church today, who are we communicating with? What kind of conversation are we involved in? Are we able to discern an evil communication, the one that the Bible says it corrupts good manners? When people bring up conversations to us, are we able to discern where this conversation is going to, and the one that we should just utterly shut it down? Eve also lacked conviction, because when the devil asked her that question, she should know, but she wasn't sure. So she started having conversation back and forth. A conversation that should have shut down, she kept having it back and forth. She also had an identity crisis. He said that if you eat it, you will die. But she should know that the way that God has made her, that God has made her in his image and his likeness, there is nothing about her dying. She didn't know that. She had lust of the flesh when she saw the tree. For the first time, she then realized that this fruit is good for food. But she's been seeing it all along. It didn't occur to her that it was good for food. But when the devil came, our draw point from here is, in our day-to-day lives, what are the things that are passing by us? You didn't think it was an item until somebody else brought it up. A conversation that you should have discerned and shut it down. Then suddenly you are now giving. You begin to look at it and say, this should be good after all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We move again to another woman in the Bible. And this is Sarah. Sarah, the beloved wife of Abraham. When we look at Genesis chapter 15, the Lord had a conversation with Abraham. And he, because of our time, I'm not reading it. Yeah, but I'll just say. And the Lord told Abraham, Abraham said that, how will all of this promise come, being that he doesn't have a child? He was complaining to God and said, Eliezer of Damascus will inherit all of his things. And the Lord assured him in Genesis 15 that, no, Eliezer will not inherit your property because I would give to you an heir. Then the next chapter, which is chapter 16, the first thing that happened is we saw that Sarah went and met Abraham and told Abraham that now you should take my maid, you know, and let us raise a family through her. Just in the last chapter, God gave Abraham a promise. God didn't tell him that that promise is going to come through his maid. And the wife suggested another way. She was walking. The next slide. She was walking by sight. She couldn't wait for the promise of God. So she walked by sight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, the scripture that is there, it says that the things of God, they are not things that are easily discerned by the carnal mind because they are spiritually constructed. So Sarah didn't know that the promise of God that the husband was waiting for was not through Hagar. So she suggested that to the husband. And as we go down quickly, we will see and compare why these things are so. By the way, when Eve did that and she collected the fruit, she ate it, she gave it to her husband. The situation that brought about, it took thousands of years for it to be reversed. The action of a woman who was not discerning. The action of one woman who was not seeking God. The action of one woman who did not pray, who was not standing in the presence of God. It took thousands of years for God to get us back to that point where they were in Eden. And for Sarah, when Sarah brought about this her suggestion that is out of the flesh, we saw what happened also. Hagar went on to her husband, then they conceived, and in no time, the same Sarah came back again, and then she said, the maid is disrespecting me now because she now has a child. Because what the devil intends to do with the great potential that God has given to a woman, just like God is aware, the devil also is aware. Perhaps it is only the woman that is not aware. So when there is a major thing to be done, as God is standing on the verge to see how the woman will come forth and break forth, the devil also is looking for that same opportunity to create the same volume of impact that she would have. For Sarah, Ishmael then came. You agree with me that the situation of Ishmael, we are still dealing with it till today. And we will deal with it to the ends of the earth. It's not going to go away. After chapter 16, just the next chapter, God comes and he tells Abraham what his plans were. He said, that child I promised you in chapter 15 is the one that Sarah, your wife, is going to give birth to. Alas, it was not how Sarah thought about it. Sarah had lust of the flesh. She just wanted a child at all costs. At any cost. It's either her way or the highway. She just wanted a child. So she gave her maid to her husband. But it didn't solve the problem. Rather, it created another problem. But can we imagine if she had stayed in the place of prayer? I searched my Bible, and I saw where Abraham was having an encounter with God. And the Bible kept recording encounters with God. I didn't see anyone for Sarah. And the things of the Spirit, our spouses can do their bit. But relationship with God, intimacy is a personal thing. The Bible says we should work out our own salvation. So as much as Abraham was standing in the place of prayer, Sarah was not. And then she used her position as his wife, to give him an advice. just like Eve also used her position as his wife to give him an advice. What advice are we giving to the people that are relying on us? Where are we drawing our inspiration from? What basis are we supporting? There's so many people that we support. There is a saying that says that the woman is a button that holds everything together. What is the anchor point of that button that we are? The advice that you will give to your son, you give to your husband, you give to so many people around you. Where are we drawing the inspiration from? Praise the Lord. These two women, amongst other ones, is just what the Lord just casted, you know, my attention on. But again, there are so many that stood well, and we saw what they did for God. We will look at another woman in the Bible, Queen Esther. Praise the Lord. And we will see what she did differently. If you read the book of Esther, just safe to begin to read, you know, from the beginning, just to have a full background of it. But I will just, you know, paraphrase them and then also touch on the where they are. Praise God. We saw the things that Esther did for the kingdom. But my heart was drawn to where the beginning point of it is, where it all started from. Praise God. In Esther chapter 4, from verse 15 to 16, media, if you can put it up, that's fine. Praise God. And Esther said, and Esther replied to Mordecai, and he said, go gather together all the Jews that are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendant will fast also. And when this is done, I will go to the king. For Eve and for Sarah, we didn't see them staying in a place to say, let me fast, let me pray before I go to the king to go and talk to him, before I go to offer him my advice, before I go to tell him what my opinion is, seeing that 80% of the time, your husband will take your advice. So the first thing that we saw in the life of Queen Esther was that she was a woman that was standing in the place of prayer. She knew that her essence, the way she her drawing power is in the place of prayer. So she prayed first. Down again, when we see in chapter 3 from 8 to 9, Haman, who was her enemy and the enemy of her people at the time, was telling the king, he said, these are a people that are different within your kingdom. Their value system is different. That spoke to how Esther and her people were speaking about Esther, how she lived a life that her values were so different. As women today, what are our values? Can our colleagues in the office tell by our value, by the way we do our things? Are they able to tell that this person is different? Praise the Lord. Just a quick one. My line manager, granddad was having an operation, and everybody said, hope it goes well. They're just drawing, say, hope it goes well, hope it goes well, hope it goes well. And I told my husband, I said, what's this one, hope it goes well? I'm going to tell her I'm praying for your granddad. And then I sent my own chat. I said, I'm praying for your granddad that the operation will go well. Because I put the word there, pray, everybody just liked it, pa, 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 pa. And then I told my husband, I said, it seemed like these people, they also love these things around prayer. I think I'll start dropping them, you know, more now. Praise God. We saw also from Queen Esther that she was spirit controlled. When she came into the palace, she did not speak of the things that she was not supposed to talk about. She didn't reveal her identity. She followed the process of the way that she was raised in a godly way. And that brought her favor. It brought her immense wisdom. And eventually, she became a major kingdom ambassador. She gave her husband advice. And the array of events that followed after she prayed and she went to the man, Before she would ask, the man would say, What do you want? Is it half of my kingdom? Because she had prayed. Because she had prayed. All the enemy, everything that the devil had planned for her, because she had prayed, she knew what to say. God gave her wisdom. She knew exactly what to do. Praise the Lord. We also look at another woman in the Bible who stood in the place of prayer. We look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible talked about her purity. There were several ladies at the time. Why did God go to meet her? Apart from the fact that she was a virgin, which speaks about purity, her response to what the angel said gave us an insight into what her belief is, that she knew her God. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." That was high-level trust. She knew her God. Unlike Eve, when the devil said, "Are you sure?" Then she entered inside conversation. She started talking back and forth. But Mary said, "Be it done to me according to your word." And she was fully submitted. She was fully submitted. She carried the pregnancy of our Lord Jesus Christ with so much grace. She carried it through. Praise the Lord. She carried it through because she had prayed. Because she was a woman who was in the place of prayer. That is in the first instance why the Lord decided to come to her. As women today, what is our personal consecration? What is consecration? It is your ability to be separated unto God, unto what the Lord wants you to do, so you can be equipped. Because your ability to function and function well is determined on the level of your consecration. It's dependent on the level of where you are standing. If you are not standing in the place of prayer, you cannot have that consecration and you will not be able to function. So many potential, so much that the Lord wants to do. At strategic points in life and in history, the woman is always called upon. We've seen Esther. We saw what happened thereafter. We've seen Mary because she submitted herself to God. And also Mary Magdalene. There's another Mary which is called the Mary, the wife of Clopas. But my attention more is on Mary Magdalene because of the kind of person that she was. It is the same Mary that the Lord Jesus, using the account of John. It is the same Mary that the Lord Jesus Christ had casted off demons from. Amen. But she repositioned herself and stood in the place of prayer such that the Lord was able to use her. She was such a devoted woman. She was so devoted to Christ. She followed him immediately after the Lord rescued her from that life. And she became devoted follower of Christ. She continued in that path. She never went back. So many of us are already born again. So Jesus Christ have done his part. But how much of our lives are we using to chase him like Mary Magdalene? She served him. She followed him. She was one of the last persons that left the cross. And the first person that went back. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like the account in John. And time is... Praise God. Amen. I like the account in John 20 from 1 to 23. So it's a long read. When she came to the tomb alone, and she saw that the Lord was no longer there, She went again to, she told the apostles, and she came back with them, and they left her there and went back. When they left her at the tomb and went back, that was when Jesus now appeared to her. Why did the Lord not appear to, you know, appear to her with the other apostle? The Lord is a rewarder of they that diligently seek him. He wanted her to have that Kairos moment because she has so deserved it. The Lord saw her heart. In my note, I put it the consecrated seeker. So devoted. Such love. The Bible says in John from, you know, chapter 20, that's her whole story. You can read it up. It says she bent down, she was weeping. And then when the Lord turned, she didn't know. She thought it was the gardener. She said, "Where have you taken my Lord? Just tell me, let me go and pick him up." It speaks about someone whose heart is totally sold out to God. Whose heart is totally, you know, giving to God and to his worship. And that was why Jesus decided to honor her the way that he did. So she saw him first. And he spoke to her and told her that he is risen, that she should go and tell the others. So a woman in the history of the Bible is the one that received the opportunity, the honor to be able to share the gospel, the first. It was because she was standing in the place of prayer. Because she has consecrated herself, she had devoted herself. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I can tell you today that because today is Mother's Day and we have so much that we have done, that we are going to do, that I am literally running. Praise God. A man will be in service today and say, "Well, today is just for women, so that's fine. Let me pass." No, don't pass. You have your wife. You have your daughter. You have your sister-in-law. You have your daughter-in-law that is going to come, even if you don't have a girl child like me for now. And prayer is a seed. Praise the Lord. As we conclude this very brief call and a charge unto consecration, so we can function in the place that the Lord has placed us as women, I want us to just do a little reflection. And that is, have we observed that the two women, after a wrong and unguided decision, impacted the people closest to them? Praise the Lord. That is to say, as a woman, you really, really do not live your life just for yourself.
Amen.
And I was thinking, I said, why didn't the devil tempt Adam instead? Why didn't he just tell Adam? I thought to say that if the devil had tempted Adam, and Adam collects that fruit and gives it to the wife, Eve will ask questions. We ask a lot of questions.
Amen.
This fruit, is it not the same one that God said we should not eat? Are you sure we should really do this? And then because of the place that she stands with the man, she will give him reason. And he'll say, actually, I think we should just leave it. I think the devil is out for the biggest kill. He rather goes to the button so that when he removes the button, several things will loosen out. As ladies today, are we aware of this potential? Are we aware of this potential? Are we aware that the devil is looking for loopholes in the life of a woman so he can take advantage of, knowing that once the woman falls, her children fall, her husband can fall, several other things can go wrong? Are we aware? Praise the Lord. How are we putting this life together to leave a legacy of a consecrated life? I'd like for us to read 2 Timothy from 2 Timothy 1, just 5 and 6. Praise God. And he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Praise the Lord. The things that I'll get to verse 6 in a bit. The things that we do are the things that our grandchildren are supposed to draw from. Amen. As I look around, you know, in church, so I see that Roper's mom is here. So she has delivered Roper. Roper is standing in the faith. But she still has Zoe. So her work is not yet done. Praise the Lord. After service one of these days, Justin's mom was telling me, he said, "Do you know I used to play the drums?" I said, "Oh, really? Little wonder that Justin plays the drum." We pass things down to our children. We will be passing things down to them. But what are we going to pass? This is Timothy, and Paul was saying, he said, this same faith that is in your grandmother and is in your mother is the same one that I have seen in you. Praise the Lord. Today, I'd like for us to begin to reflect on this capacity that the Lord has given to us to be able to stay strong, to rescue, to save, to nurture, to bring out a life. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 and verse 11, it said the heart of her husband safely trusts her. What a disappointment will it be if the heart of your husband safely trusts you and you lead that man to error just because he listened to you. Praise the Lord. I'd like for us to reflect today in Timothy, this one that is here in verse 6. Can we see verse 6? It said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Praise God. Grace is impacted through laying on of hands. Grace is also activated through laying on of hands. For us, we stand comfortable today because we already have the grace inherently in us, because that is how we are made. The situation is, are we fanning it to flames or we are just letting it to be there? Are we fanning it to flames? I want to present just this call to all of us. That if you know that this inherent grace that is in you, it needs the fanning to flames. It needs the Lord to help you to fan it to flames so that you are able to be discerning. You are able to be discerning. So when you want to advise your son, you just don't advise him from your head. The Bible says that in Psalms, it says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. He said, even in Mary, there is pain. Praise the Lord. So there are some things that seem like it is merriment, but there is pain there. In 1 Corinthians, it says that the things that are of the spirit, the carnal mind cannot understand it because they are spiritually discerned. We have the grace today, which I know by the mercies of God, is available for today, being this special day as we celebrate womanhood. That the Lord is willing to fan to flame the inherent grace that he's given to us. The inherent ability to be able to actually support and direct and lead people and lead them actually to God. Lead them to their destiny. Lead them to their purpose. Not lead them wrongly. So if your husband comes and says, "There is this business meeting I'm trying to enter," I thought I should just ask, who amongst us, how many of those kind of conversations do we have? When somebody close to you come and ask you, say, "What do you really think about this?" We have so many people that ask us this question. On what basis do we answer them? And do we know that for as many people that ask us this question, that is our own opportunity to express the will of God? So we are able to tell them because we have prayed. Deborah, another woman in the Bible, when they were supposed to go to war, he said, go, for the Lord will give you victory. She sounded so confident because she had prayed. And indeed, when they went, the Lord gave them victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is calling us. He's calling us to fan to flames the potentials that he has put in us from the time that he created us. If you are in service today, and you want the Lord to fan to flames this, you know, you want to cooperate with God, with the Holy Spirit, to say, I am willing to fan to flames this great potential that is inside of me. So I'll lead my children right. I'll lead my colleagues right. I'll lead my husband right. I'll lead even my own life right.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.